and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The wave of executive orders issued by President Trump are still being rolled out, but several are already facing lawsuits, including President Trump's directive to block birthright citizenship.
On day two of President Trump's second term, states from Massachusetts to California are suing over the executive order to block birthright citizenship, calling it extreme and a clear violation of the 14th Amendment. California Attorney General Rob Bonta says, yes, President Trump is fulfilling a campaign promise, but...
Today, I'm also following through on a promise to take action if Trump violates the law.
ABC's Alex Stone. The FDA expanding approval for Johnson & Johnson's nasal spray ketamine-derived treatment for standalone use. The drug was already approved in 2019 for severe depression, but only if used with other prescribed antidepressant drugs. Dangerous cold dipping further into the south and the northeast is heading into its coldest night yet of the season. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Sunday afternoon, a woman lost her life in a fatal crash. At approximately 3:50, the Sauk County Communications Center was notified of a single vehicle crash in the area of U.S. Highway 12 and Growth Road in the town of Sumter. Deputies, fire, and EMS responded to the scene. Upon arrival, a deputy located the vehicle and its two occupants off the roadway in a wooded area. The operator, a 39-year-old female from Dubuque, Iowa, was deceased, and a juvenile passenger was trapped inside with serious injuries. The passenger was freed from the vehicle and transported to UW Hospital via MedFlight. From roadway evidence and witness statements, it is believed that excessive speed was a contributing factor in the crash. The Sauk County Sheriff's Office was assisted at the scene by the Sauk City Fire Department, Sauk Prairie Ambulance, and the Sauk County Coroner's Office. Remembering a national champion gymnast Saturday night. The gymnastics team at UW-Whitewater celebrated Kira Welsh Night during their first home meet of the season. The 21-year-old Welsh, who was a 2023 national champion in the vault, was shot and killed at an off-campus apartment this past August. The man accused in her death, 23-year-old Chad Richards, has pleaded not guilty to a first-degree intentional homicide charge. After the competition, Welsh's family was presented with an academic certificate for Kara, and donations were made to a scholarship in her honor. A Red Cross blood drive will be held Wednesday from 10 to 3 at the Delton Fire Department in Lake Delton. Appointments are preferred by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or online at redcrossblood.org. You can also download the Red Cross Blood Donor app. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks at midseason. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks are at the halfway point of the regular season. 41 games completed, 41 to go. The Bucks are 24-17 so far, thanks to having just won four in a row at home. And they're in fourth place in the Eastern Conference behind Cleveland, Boston, and New York. Bucks forward, Chris Middleton.
Yeah, with an up and down season that we've had so far, I think we'll take it. Knowing that, you know, we could be better in a lot of different areas. There's a lot of games I think we dropped that we thought we should have won. But to be 7 games over .500 with, you know, all the highs and lows, I think we'll take it right now. Hopefully, you know, we keep getting those wins up and getting a higher win percentage.
The Bucks on the road tomorrow night in New Orleans against the Pelicans. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. NFL, the Chicago Bears have a new head coach, 38-year-old Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. And the Ohio State Buckeyes, the new national champions of college football after beating Notre Dame 34-23. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered flurries, temperatures rising up above zero in the overnight. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, still some flurries, not as cold, highs mid-20s. Colder again for Thursday, mostly sunny and a high only in the mid-teens, but warming back up for the weekend. Right now, it's 1.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. the scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some bipartisan agreement in the Wisconsin legislature on taking care of new moms. Guess who said no? All the details coming up. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Schwabba.
Let's do it. This night needs to be lit, and we are just the people to do it. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. My fellow Wisconsinites, we bring you Nightlight, a show that is broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay and reaching you wherever you are in the state. We are broadcasting statewide. Great to have you with me on this ridiculously frigid, I mean, it's just twice today I was asked, how cold is it there? And I said, zero. It's no degrees. There are no degrees. That's how cold it is. And it was windy. Conrad, you're all bundled up tonight.
You like my little jacket that I brought in?
It looks like you should be collecting maple syrup.
It has fur inside it, too.
Look at that. And you have a sweatshirt on.
No. Just a shirt.
Just a shirt. Is it a long sleeve?
Otherwise, that'd be too hot. No, it's a t-shirt.
Oh, that's not too bad.
But I got fur on, so.
You're supporting the fur. Good for you. Yeah, great to have you. We got a really fun show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And let me just say at the top of the show, helping us light the night, what better way and what better assistance to light said night than with the help of a cigar company? Appleton Cigar Company on College Ave helps us light the night here at Nightlight. They've been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado, or even if you just like cigars and you're looking for a one-of-a-kind experience, check out Appleton Cigar. They boast the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee with over 700 cigars to choose from and a walk-in humidor. Have you ever been in a walk-in humidor, Conrad?
I can't say I have.
You know what I like about them?
What's that?
You just walk right in. There's no leaning, no reaching. You walk right in. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails, which and really enhances your experience because every cigar lounge I've been to did not have cocktails, believe it or not. But Appleton Cigar does. They pair that perfectly with a premium cigar for the full experience. Head down to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Avenue, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com. There is nothing better than a cigar company, folks, to help us light the night here at Nightlight. And they are doing that. We are glad to have them on board. So much going on. We've got some talk. There's a new book out called The Meet the Parents Story about the making of Meet the Parents, the live-action film. Full disclaimer or disclosure, however you want to say it, my former or sometimes still writing partner, Greg Liana, created the Meet the Parents franchise and had quite a journey in doing so. He got backstabbed a little bit, and it was quite – there's a lot of drama behind this comedy. And there's a new book out by Laura Enright, and Laura and Greg will be joining me at 6:35 to talk about this really cool new book with some behind-the-scenes Hollywood stuff. That is my favorite stuff about show business. I mean, obviously, I love the content, the movies, the TV, music, comedy, everything, but there's nothing like a good behind-the-scenes story to whet your appetite for some good drama. And Laura and Greg will be here at 6:35 to discuss the Meet the Parents story. Get your copy, and we'll tell you where you can do that too. And then we're going to have some Herb Conrad, is it Herb?
Herb.
Herb. Yeah. We're going to have some herb talk at 7:20 with Mason Hutchinson. He is an herbalist and has a podcast dedicated to herbs. And I think that's called Herb Rally. So Mason's coming into the studio, which I think is cool. Do you think he'll bring some herbs?
You know, it'd be hilarious, though, if his name was actually Herb.
Herb. Herb with herbs.
Yeah, I hope you bring some herbs, though.
Let's herb with herb.
Yeah.
You can only bring the legal kind, though.
Yes.
You can't bring any of that wacky tobacco. So I hope Mason knows that before he gets here. I'm not really a practitioner of such herbs anyway, but, you know, a lot of people are. And I would think if marijuana is ever legalized in Wisconsin, a guy who knows a lot about herbs would be the guy first in the door, maybe. I don't know. But it's all about community. He and his wife, they travel around. They're part of this herbal community, which I think is really interesting. And I got to be honest, I don't know much about herbs. I know I must eat them at times. You can take supplements, all kinds of stuff. But we're going to learn more about it. And I'm kind of excited to, because I'm always looking for ways to get more herbs in my body. To learn about something new that has a lot of health benefits and is good at promoting the community, too. So it'll be good to meet Mason at 7:20. He's coming into the station, and he was introduced to us by JB Thompson, who is the guy behind the guy. JB has introduced us to several guests in the Northeast Wisconsin area, and he is the guy behind the guy. He just makes deals. There's no money being exchanged. We don't pay any guests, but we have them in. We have a nice conversation. That's what it's all about. Speaking of frigid cold, as we were just moments ago, you know, that leads us to our question of the night.
Talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
I love that. Gumanda. So cool. If you didn't have air conditioning or heat, would you take extreme heat or cold? What do you prefer? You got no choice. Because you don't have air conditioning or heat, but you do have a choice. What do you opt for? Extreme heat or extreme cold? Let's say extreme heat is like 90 degrees. Maybe some humidity. Even maybe 100. And extreme cold is like what it is now, zero. Are you closer to wanting extreme heat, closer to 100, or closer to zero and extreme cold? You don't have heat or air conditioning. That is not an option.
Can I have a fan?
No cheats. You're just baking in your own juices, or you're shivering.
I think Lisa said this last time she was on. I forget what we were talking about, but she said you can always put on layers, but you can only take so many off.
That was a learned comment. Yeah, I guess so you would opt in favor of the cold then. Because you could bundle up. I guess there are no limit to clothes, but...
Blankets, everything you can imagine. Just maybe a mattress I'll put on top of myself, too.
All right, so you're going cold. I'm going heat.
Really?
Yeah.
You can handle?
Let's do this. Let's say in cold, you can have layers. In heat, you can live by water and have drinking water. So you won't freeze to death. You'll still be very cold, even with layers. Or in the heat... You can have temporary relief, like in a lake, and you won't dehydrate. You'll have water. So that's the question of the night, folks. Let us know where you stand. Most people either say they're more for the hot or more for the cold. Most of the people I know, I think, don't like heat.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a tough question, but I'm going to go heat. And you're cold.
Yeah. I think I'd still stay with, because I just put so many layers on where eventually I'll get warm. I hope.
Yeah. And you can't have a hot shower either.
Oh, no.
So that's what... I got to be honest. There are days I take a really hot shower, but then like on nights like this, when it's cold and windy, even going from my car to the house, I can get a chill and I'll jump in the shower again just to warm up. I mean, I am a total wimp. And if there is an apocalypse, and I hope there is not... I think I'd migrate south. I think I would take heat. But let us know what you think. It's always more fun when we get to read what other people think. And people on this show, listeners of this show, often think outside the box, which I love. 855-752-4842 855-75-CIVIC. Do you prefer the extreme heat or extreme cold? You have no heat or air conditioning. If you choose cold, you can bundle up. If you choose heat, you can have a lake nearby and drinking water so you don't dehydrate. But you're going to be uncomfortable either way. That's a good question. I'm interested to see what people think. So I don't know if you're aware of this, Conrad, but recently, oh, that number, by the way, is 855-752-4842, or text us on the app. So easy to use. You know, just click the little text button. You get right through to us, or text us on the stream. And Conrad, I know people know where they can watch the radio, but tell them anyway.
Yeah, so we're on WISS, WGBW, and Nightlight with Pichuaba on Facebook. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter, it is Civic Media or WGBW.
Boom. Let us know. Give us a like. Yeah, give us a like. Give us a follow. Give us your opinion. We'd love to hear from you. This, I thought, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we've had a little fun with the Hawk Tua girl over the... Yeah. Not that kind of fun. We've talked about the Hawk Tua girl several times. We did a little... We did a little trailer for her reality show that was, you know, never quite launched. Do you know she's disappeared?
Well, you know, I think it's because she launched that scam coin or whatever. Was it actually just called the Hawk Tua coin?
I guess so.
Who in their right mind would be like, you know what? Yeah, let's put some money into that.
I know. My first instinct was to say there's a sucker born every minute. But she has not been heard from in like 6 weeks. And this, I think I saw this on Business Insider. Initially hitting the market capitalization of $500 million. And it was money. It was shock. It was like a money sign and then hawk. Quickly dropped to $25 million, resulting in significant financial losses for investors. The controversy escalated when some investors accused Welch, Brittany, what's her name? Welch. Haley Welch, and her team of insider trading and filed complaints with the Securities and Exchange Commission. It was $500 million and dropped to $25 million. And a lot of people are saying she took the money and ran.
I could see it. I mean, so what would happen if we signed up for the membership? You think it's just like, oh, sorry.
I'll tell you what would happen. Two words. We'd be out of our money. And again, like at first I was like, hey, buyer beware. But if you're that much of an idiot that you, first of all, why do you want a coin, a meme coin or whatever they're calling it? I don't understand why you'd put down your hard earned money for this. And I have friends that have said, oh, she seems like a great girl. Okay. Maybe she is. Maybe she's not behind this. Maybe the people that created her persona, so to speak, or branded her, are the ones behind it. I don't know. It is a bad look. And she's probably done. She had a good run. I hope she pocketed the money. And I hope she didn't rip people off.
You know, I'm sad I don't get to listen to her podcast anymore. That was a weekly thing. Yeah, that was a weekly thing for me.
Well, the reality show's never hitting the airwaves now at this point either. So, all right. We've got we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Razzies are out. We'll see who really stunk it up at the box office this year. Then we're going to talk about the Meet the Parents story at 6:35. We got a lot to get to. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it breaks my heart. So when did I fall? I want to cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you. Someone's living for their love.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, They're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood for kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
From the 920, Annie in Watertown says, we're at the point where no degrees is better than less than no degrees. That's very true, Annie. It's still hard to say. It's nothing. It's no degrees. How cold is it there? Nothing? None. We have no degrees. Annie says, extreme heat in all caps, please. I'm with you, Annie. Now, we are saying that when it's ridiculously cold right now. So maybe in the summer I feel differently, but I doubt it. Annie and I are aligned. Monica in Mount Horeb, she's in the 608, says, extreme heat. My hands hurt from the cold. Just dumping the trash in the bin today and wheeling it out to the curb. That is weird because your hand or parts of your body can get so cold, it feels like they're hot. I don't think that's what Monica was saying there, but it just made me think of some of the sensations I've had when I've been really cold. It's like a sting. But Monica's also in favor of extreme heat. So Jim in Appleton says, Pete, words of someone who spent too many years living in SoCal. Yeah, maybe, Jim. I don't know. You're not really answering the question, though, either, Jim. I think Jim is probably would lean cold there since he's teasing me about living in Southern California, unless he meant himself. Maybe Jim lived in SoCal. I'm going to go heat. So far, we've had all heat. Steve from Florida says, Grandma Krieger agrees with you, Pete. Conrad's grandma agrees with me. Conrad, have you noticed your grandma and I are pretty much in cahoots on everything that comes up on this show?
I think so.
I have to meet this woman. Extreme heat, says Grandma Krieger. That's why I'm in Florida right now. That's a good reason. Jim in Appleton says, I still, even with the heat beating lake, prefer cold. All right. And Jim is saying that when it's 0 degrees, 0. It's nothing outside. So good for you, Jim. Stick your principles. Paula, Conrad's mother, checking in, says, I much prefer being warmer. I got tired of bundling up every time I went outside. Most of the year, I can just wear a t-shirt and shorts. See, that's living.
So it's actually -4.
-4.
So it's that's not feels like -4. It
no,
is -4.
It's actual
-4.
So right there are degrees in play.
But it's negative.
They're just on the wrong side of the zero. Not that it matters that much when we're down that low.
It feels like -13, though.
With the wind, yeah. That's, I don't know, a lot of schools were canceled today just because of cold. Preemptively, like in anticipation of wind and kids that have to wait for buses, that kind of stuff. Steady Eddie's early tonight.
Yeah.
He planned ahead. He's in the 608. He says, Pete, I'll take Tucson over Fargo, heat over cold, although the movie was funny and warm. Steadfast Edward. Steady Eddie, a little shorter than usual tonight, a little earlier. Must have a hot date. He had to get out the door. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Always great to hear from you. Always great to hear from Jim, Conrad's parents, Annie, Monica, everybody. We love getting your texts. Keep them coming. You can also call us too, folks. We have multiple phone lines now. I don't think we're making as big a deal about that as we should, Conrad. We have more than one phone line, so you can call too. We welcome any kind of of interaction. So the Razzies came out. These are the awards. I think they're given out by Harvard. They're the worst. They give out awards to the worst movies and the worst performances. They're called the Razzies. The Hollywood Reporter listed them earlier today. Leading the list, Joker 2, Folie à Deux. I think they had 9. I just read this. Where is that? Yeah. No, 7 nominations, including worst movie, performances. I mean, that's bad. That's, people have fun with it, but that's got to be, if you're an actor, like if you're Lady Gaga or Joaquin Phoenix, that hurts. Or if you're, who's the, Todd Phillips is the director behind it. Borderlands. What?
That movie was so bad.
Did you see that movie?
It was so bad. I was excited for it. It's based on a video game. And it just didn't tell the story great. Mm. Kevin Hart was like, it was like trying to be funny in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, not that's just Kevin natural. Hart. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I forget who else was in it, but I didn't like it.
Okay. Neither did the people that voted on the Razzies.
Yeah.
Borderlands, Madam Web, Megalopolis.
Yeah, Madam Web was not good.
Is that the Dakota Johnson film?
Yeah. Based in the
That she
Spider-Man.
Threw everybody under the bus.
That's right. Yeah.
Megalopolis, that's Francis Ford Coppola's passion project, in which he put like $100 million of his own bucks into. But a lot of people said it wasn't as bad. Reagan also was up there. They all got 6 nominations apiece. Unfrosted, the Jerry Seinfeld film.
Really?
Yeah, got 4. Like, I didn't like that, but it was different and weird. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't put it into worst of all time. It was just kind of like jokey.
Yeah.
And kind of different. So I think that's kind of cool. I don't know. I didn't like the movie that much, but that got 4 nominations and The Crow got 2. So
okay.
There you go. I don't know.
I got an early nomination for next year.
Yeah.
Back in Action. I watched that over the weekend. And it's Cameron Diaz and why can't I think of his name? Hold on.
Cameron Diaz. Going to the Google.
Jamie Foxx. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name. But
oh, I remember that movie. I didn't see it, though.
It sucked. It was terrible. There was no... I don't know. It just wasn't a fun movie. You could predict everything. And
that's horrible.
There was no chemistry between Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz, even though they're husband and wife.
Wait,
I don't know.
What do you mean their husband? Oh, in the movie, their husband and wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
This says, among the actors receiving mentions were Joaquin Phoenix, Kate Blanchett, Lady Gaga, both from Folie à Deux, and John Voight, one of President Trump's newly appointed ambassadors to Hollywood, who was nominated for his performances in, in a near record 4 films. Oh, that's a bite. And before anybody judges, that's before, these were voted on before anybody knew John Voight's ambassadorship to Hollywood, but... And you know what? A lot of these people are good actors. Joaquin Phoenix, good actor. John Voight is a great actor. He's a little, he says weird things now in interviews, but he was a great actor, still is. Kate Blanchett, great actor, still nominated. All right. We'll look into this some more. There's a lot of, oh my God, worst picture. Actor, Dennis Quaid for Reagan, Jerry Seinfeld for Unfrosted, Joaquin Phoenix.
Wow.
Jack Black, Dear Santa.
No.
Nominated for a Razzie.
No.
Actresses Kate Blanchett, Lady Gaga, Bryce Dallas Howard for Argyle, Dakota Johnson and Madam Web, and Jennifer Lopez. Jenny Lopez? Get out of here. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about a new book about the movie Meet the Parents. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. So great to have you with me on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network. Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella groove. Girls out on the sunset. When I learned to play some lead guitar, I was underage in this redneck bar. Stepped outside and smoked myself a J.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Bitcoin-friendly administration of President Donald Trump and an expanding lobbying effort in state houses could bring a cryptocurrency policy blitz in 2025. Together, they could push states to become more crypto-friendly and more public pension funds and treasuries to buy cryptocurrency. Proponents of the uniquely volatile commodity argue that it's a valuable hedge against inflation, similar to gold. But the risks are significant. Critics say a crypto investment is highly speculative with so much unknown about projecting its future returns, and warn that investors should be prepared to lose their cash. 2024 was a landmark year for crypto, with Bitcoin surpassing $100,000. On Monday, it jumped past $109,000. Richland County property owners, January 31st is the final due date for the 2024 real estate property taxes. Taxes are due and payable to your township, village, or city treasurer as addressed on your tax bill during the local municipal treasurer's collection period through January 31st. The county treasurer's office cannot accept payments for the current 2024 taxes until February 1st. Some municipalities are accepting online payments as an option this year, and this list can be found on the Richland County Treasurer's website. The Richland County Treasurer's Office reminds all homeowners that use their homes as their primary residence as of January 1, 2024, to check their tax bills to be sure a lottery credit was applied. To receive a lottery credit on the 2024 taxes, homeowners need to turn in the lottery credit claim form to their local municipal treasurer by January 31st. Lottery credit claim forms can be obtained from your local municipal treasurer, the Richland County Treasurer website, or the Department of Revenue website. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Comedian Dave Chappelle has made a living being funny and controversial, which is tough to do. On last weekend's Saturday Night Live, the comedian said he was tired of being controversial. During his fourth time hosting the show, Chappelle wished new President Trump good luck, joked about the LA fires, and at one point said he was never invited to a Diddy party, adding that that is a hard way to find out you're ugly. He might be tired of being controversial, but it will be interesting to see if he can avoid those urges over the next 4 years. Awards season is heating up, even for the lesser-known award events. Saudi Arabia's Joy Awards took place over the weekend and had some serious star power in attendance. Morgan Freeman was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award, which was presented by Anthony Hopkins. Matthew McConaughey was given the award for Best Personality, which is really impressive given that he makes the absolute worst commercials. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered flurries, temperatures rising up above zero in the overnight. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, still some flurries, not as cold, highs mid-20s. Colder again for Thursday, mostly sunny and a high only in the mid-teens, but warming back up for the weekend. Right now, it's 1.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a Hump Day edition. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, is with us, along with Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Be here.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hi, this is Jenny Slate, and you are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Some sweet sounds coming down the night shift. I bet you're singing proud.
We're back.
Oh,
Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night, this frigid Tuesday night in the state of Wisconsin. We're broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay. Do we have, is Laura stream or phone?
She's on the phone.
Oh, she is. Laura, are you with us?
Yeah.
Hey. Hi, fantastic. We're trying to get Greg lined up. He thought it was next week, but I think he's going to join us in a few minutes with his buddy Jim Vincent, who worked on the original Meet the Parents, so it worked out very well. But it's great to have you. My guest is Laura Enright. She is an author of many books, but most recently, Meet the Parents story, which just to give some background to the listeners, Laura, Greg Liana was my writing partner and is my sometimes still writing partner. We sold some scripts to studios. And when I met Greg, he had just sold, or he had made, completed, I should say, an indie film called Meet the Parents that went over gangbusters. This great little independent film was purchased by Universal. And that's kind of around the time I met Greg and started writing with him. This live action film with Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro was just about to hit theaters. And there's a lot of drama behind the scenes in from step A to step B, from an independent film to getting it to the big screen in Hollywood. And Laura just wrote a book about all of that. And I'm thrilled to welcome her onto Nightlight right now, author Laura Enright. Great to have you, Laura, and great to meet you.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you.
Laura joked in the email, Conrad, that we're not paying her something like that enough to be on the show. I said our budget doesn't really involve paying guests typically, much to our chagrin. But so thank you.
I've decided to slum.
Thank you for slumming it with us. Do we have, is Greg, are you there? Hey, there he is.
I am. I thought this was radio.
This is radio, but you got it
for radio.
That's okay. You got a great looking beard. You got a little goatee going. I like that. Good to have you. It's great to have you both here. Nice. Laura is on with us too, Greg. I just told the story kind of about how, you know, a little bit of the thumbnail knowledge I have about what happened from just talking to you over the years. But let's start with Laura. Tell us about the book, The Meet the Parents story. Greg, by the way, for those of you listening, created the Meet the Parents franchise. He made the independent film we were just talking about, and it eventually got to the big screen, spawned two sequels, was this humongous success. And that's the reason Greg wears very expensive clothes. Laura, tell us a little bit about the book.
It's really actually a fascinating story. And also, it's a good insight into how that whole system works. You know, from like you said, from A to B to C to D. And kind of what, you know, what people have to go through to, you know, be creative, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he and Mary Ruth were dealing with Universal, and Universal's been around for a long time, and they know how to craft a deal. So,
can I just say,
yeah,
I read the book and it made me depressed.
My job is done.
Yeah, that's kind
Laura did a great job of bringing it to life, but it's just depressing to relive some of this stuff.
Let me just give an example of how I know exactly what Greg means, because that was good for you, Greg. I think, you know, put some money in your pocket, got you some notoriety, but you were so depressed through the process that we were at a meeting, Laura, going in at the Zucker Brothers, a couple Wisconsinites, and we're waiting in the waiting room, and the headline on Variety says, Meet the Parents surpasses $100 million. 5 minutes later in the meeting, Greg says, they ruined my movie. And all these Hollywood types, they have no idea what he's talking about. They're just like, all they see is $100 million. You know?
How with the money, they ruined my movie.
But
Greg, wasn't Chevy Chase at that meeting?
Yes. That was the time I rode up in the elevator with Chevy Chase, and that was kind of thrilling. And he kind of was ignoring us, but we were all waiting to go in. And then you held up the headline, and Chevy Chase all of a sudden kind of was talking to us then. Like, oh.
We existed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, Greg, talk a little bit about why that was depressing for you, because it was such a rocky road from you selling the whole concept to getting it on the screen at Universal, and kind of how you were treated. Tell that story a little bit.
Well, I can't really complain, but just that we had such high hopes for our film. It did so well. got such great reviews. People really liked it. And just that we had to, you know, sell it to get remade, and then we can't even show it now. So to me, it's just a kind of a depressing story. But
you also,
I think that's the heart of it. You guys wanted your movie out there. You wanted that distributed. And not that it wasn't a good thing in some respects the way it happened, but it's not your film. I think that's what's eating at you the most. It's like, it's not your film. And your film,
it may be interesting for you, the author. You have an interesting story, but to me it's depressing because I lived it.
Well, yeah, no. And I get that. I mentioned that when we were speaking about it. It's like, yeah, I can see that completely.
Greg, right. When you read the book, did Laura kind of capture sort of exactly what you went through? Because there's part of this story that I feel like.
Yeah.
And is the other writer taking your name off the script when he handed it in? Is that all in the book as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She did an amazing job of research. Because it's so detailed is why I was like, oh, I'm sad.
Some of the stuff you forgot, too.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
Really?
Like, I thought it was funny. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that happened. Yeah, it did.
So, Laura, how much research went into this book? Like, how long did it take to write?
It was a long time. I mean, I got to be honest. I was actually working a lot of hours at two jobs, so that was hard. That was part of the hard part. But I think, when did you come? It was to 2020, maybe. So it's been a number of years. Okay. And it's a matter of tracking people down, getting, you know, arranging times for interviews and tracking the information down, a lot of it online, newspapers, things like that, watching the new movies the commentary, getting information from that. It was quite a while.
How did you guys meet? Like, Greg, how did you connect with Laura? Because like, I know you wanted your story out there, rightfully so. How did this happen where you met the right exact person to do that?
Well, I had known Laura from high school at Maine South, and I was a big fan of a couple of her books that she wrote that I read that I thought were great, these two vampire books. And and she expressed an interest in telling the Meet the Parents story, so I was like, okay, you know. And she just did an amazing job of research and went to town.
So, Laura, you wrote books about vampires and now a different kind of vampire.
Yeah.
Hollywood studio system.
Studio vampires. They were
good material. Yeah.
Was it hard to get interviews like with people that were in the know? Like, Greg, you know, you and I you know, our agents kind of knew the story. And, you know, just to let everybody know, the other writer on this, I mentioned we were writing partners, Greg. The other writer on Greg's Meet the Parents was a really talented writer named Mary Ruth Clark. Did you talk to Mary Ruth, Laura? Mm-hmm. I assume so.
No, yeah.
Jim Hertzfeld.
Yeah, I got an interview with Jim Hertzfeld, which actually surprised me. He was very forthcoming.
Okay.
That kind of threw me off because I was expecting it all to be a little more cagey.
Yeah.
But
he won. Why would he be cagey?
Huh?
He said he won. Yeah.
Well, why would he be caged?
Because he's still got an image to protect. And some of the stuff he came out and said was basically like that, you know, whole thing where he kind of campaigned to have you guys to make the Writers Guild think that it was a transcript you had submitted of the original movie and not a script written for Universal when Universal took you guys on. That's not a really good look for him. So I was surprised by that story.
So here's
did
what,
you get that piece?
Yeah, here's what happened. So Greg handed in a version of, he sold his movie to Universal. They hired him to do a script, right, Greg?
Two drafts.
And then he handed those in, and like happened so often, this happened to us with the guy thing, Greg, they brought in other writers. Well, this other writer they brought in took Greg's name off the script. That's who we're talking about here, this Jim Hertzfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And he was campaigning behind the scenes to get Greg's name, was it taken off the script or just, I don't know.
Off screenplay by it.
Okay.
He was actually trying to get Hamburger's name off there too. Is it Hamburg? Hamburg. He was trying to get Hamburg's name off there as well.
The other credited writer.
It would just be only a Jim Hertzfeld joint.
Wow. And he copped to that in the interview? Like, he admitted
that? He didn't cop to it. It was in the notes for, they gave me the notes from the Writers Guild when they were trying to figure out credit.
Okay.
When they approached him. And in it, it stated that he was also trying to get Jim, John Hamburg off there.
I mean, could you
it was writer A, B, writer C, but I could figure it out.
Like, he had already been paid to do the rewrite. He was going to be the main writer either way. Could you even imagine doing something like that, Greg? Yeah. Like, campaigning to have someone else's name, who created the franchise, have your name taken off the script? I can't believe that.
Well, he was panicking when at the thought that Mara Ruth and I would have gotten screenplay. Because, this is not in the book, I guess, because we couldn't verify it, but I do remember it. He was calling my agent at the time, Stu Fry, saying, Greg has got to take story by. I just bought a house.
And I did look it up. He did buy a house around that time.
It happened.
The property record.
I didn't make it up. I was there.
So, well, probably.
Here's another variable to this story that I love. Okay, so Greg and I, we had this, I would say, of the people that represented us around the time we sold A Guy Thing, our favorite of our reps was our lawyer, Bob Wallerstein, who Greg said, I said, did you talk to Bob? He said, yeah. Bob also represented Robert De Niro, who was entitled to like 5% of the gross. So he had absolutely no motivation to go to bat for Greg.
Right.
Not that he wouldn't have.
Explains some stuff.
Yeah, and Bob's a great guy. But I did think that was kind of funny. It's like everybody wants to make money off this piece of property. And
they did.
They're sticking it to the guy who created the whole thing in the first place.
Well, you know what the real irony is? Is that after it got to Nancy Tenenbaum, who was fighting to get the remake made, there were like, I think, 4 or 5 years where Universal put it on a shelf and did very little with it. So it's like she had to really, really fight to make them understand that this could be a big movie. And then finally, it's remade, and everybody's okay. This is, I think Hertzfeld saw it too. And I think that's one reason he was all gangbusters to go after it, because I think he realized how big this movie could be too. So Universal seemed not to.
Was that ever given to you, Greg, as a reason, like why it sat on the shelf? I remember you said the director, Jay Roach, is the one that, or first Steven Soderbergh saw it and really wanted to make it. And that didn't happen. It sat on the shelf. Jay Roach had the juice, I guess, at the time to get it made. What did they ever give you a reason why they didn't make this? It's like the highest grossing live action film of all time or something like that.
Yeah, because it was a good idea, probably.
They're scared of good ideas.
Yeah, people would relate to it. It's funny. It's just all the things that
not actually work.
They don't need that.
It might actually be something.
That's so funny.
Hang on 1 second, you guys. I'll be right back.
Yeah, all right. So, Laura, let's talk about what was your – we have to do a break, Laura, and then we come back. I want to find out kind of more about your process and how you got the book made, what it was like getting interviews. It fascinates me because I can't believe that this actually – I love that this book actually exists now after hearing these stories for years. So, Laura Enright is my guest. She's the author of The Meet the Parents Story. Greg Liana is with us, too. He's the creator of Meet the Parents. We will be right back with more with these two talented people on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. Our question of the night is extreme heat or extreme cold? If you did not have heat or air conditioning, what would you opt for? Extreme heat or extreme cold? Joe from the 715 says extreme heat. Extreme heat is kicking extreme cold's ass tonight, probably because it's 0 degrees outside right now. That might have something to do with it. Joining me right now on Nightlight, I'm very excited, is my writing one of my writing partners and good friend Greg Liana, former comedian and the author of the Meet the Parents story, Laura Enright. Laura wrote a book about Greg's experiences selling his independent film Meet the Parents to the studio and the journey he went on afterwards. Greg, what are you most when you watch the new Meet the Parents, what do you miss the most about your film, and what are you okay with in regard to the changes they made?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm about to run out into the cold. What they did was fine. There's gags that I thought were really funny that I can't believe they would take out. But, you know, they made a good movie. It's very successful. I don't want to sit here and nitpick, you know.
I was really hoping you would. I'm kidding.
I'll be happy to nitpick.
Let's do that. I'd love to hear what you have to say, Laura. I want to say that the guy in Greg's movie, which you can watch on YouTube, who played the father, to me, funnier than Robert De Niro. I know that sounds crazy, but more real. De Niro is kind of playing the tough guy, De Niro, CIA, mob guy, and that's just was over the top. And Greg's movie was so real. They were real characters. There was real awkwardness. And that, to me, was the charm of the whole experience of meeting the parents. What do you think, Laura?
I agree. I thought the I loved the original movie. I didn't really laugh at the new movie, but part of that is me. But like you're saying, the father, the whole CIA thing, I thought was unnecessary. It's just too much, and that's the problem I had with the new movie. That everything was too much, and they even took the seeds of the jokes from Greg and Mary Ruth, and just went too far with them and were overloaded them, and it just, the subtlety was gone. And I did not find Greg in the new movie very sympathetic or completely sympathetic.
Who was played by Ben Stiller.
Yeah, and I like Ben Stiller.
Same.
But I just did not find him sympathetic.
Yeah. What did you, Laura, what did you learn writing this book? Like, you knew Greg from way back. You probably didn't know all the intricacies of this experience with Meet the Parents. What did you learn? What were you most shocked to learn writing this book, if anything?
I think how long the process can take. You know, when I saw that a remake was going to be made, I'm like, oh, well, good for Greg. You know, I'm sure there'll be something in it for him. And I think everyone instantly thinks that. But when you get to the part about the credits and how screenplay credit would have been so much better than story by credit, which is what he ended up getting in Mary Ruth.
Right.
And it's like, you know, there's a lot of, I never realized how much shenanigans can go on. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I'll take this to Hollywood and they'll, you know, no, I think he and Mary Ruth were both kind of screwed on that. And that surprised me.
There's just so much money to be made or at stake, mm-hmm. and that just makes people crazy. And to me, I feel like once you do something as egregious as taking someone's name off a script, I feel like even though the movie's out, there should be grounds for legal action if people see fit. Has that ever been mentioned?
I didn't come across anything like that. I mean, I came across other issues that I know a lot of people are not very happy with the Writers Guild. Because they often don't seem to stand up for you know, the people who are paying them the dues, in which in this case was also they didn't stand up very well for Greg and Mary Ruth. So I think a lot of people in Hollywood are not very happy with them.
That's really interesting you say that, because mm-hmm. I'm a member of the Writers Guild, obviously. I support them. But I have heard stories mm-hmm. where they tend to sort of kowtow to bigger celebrities, or, you know, I think they can okay. be pushed around based on, you know, the circumstance.
Oh, yeah. I think in this case, I think Mary Ruth and Greg's status it wasn't well known enough. I really do believe that. I think it was very easy for them to just kind of bulldoze over them and say, no, even with the arbitration. You know, they had everything and it's just like, boom, no, we're going to go with these two who have been in Hollywood for, you know, longer.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and not that I'm defending the studios, but I think they don't want to have to deal with these little nuance or these little nuisances like other writers who created you know, it's just easier for them. So if they can sweep some of that under the rug, they're going to do it to make their own lives easier. Who did you interview, Laura, in addition to the other writers? Like who interested you the most when you were doing interviews for the book?
I thought Nancy Tenenbaum, the producer, was very fascinating. You know, her history with the business in itself, and also just some of the, you know, her efforts to get the movie made. I know Greg actually interviewed a guy, and I love the story, a guy named Clay Heery, who was a friend of Emo, and took the movie, Greg's original movie, from studio to studio to studio to see if somebody would be willing to buy it. And his story of his tale of his travels in that, I just love. And he tells the story, which I think is fantastic, about he went to Universal. It was around the time that the Jurassic Park had been made. Universal, ironically, was interested. But they said to him, we have an idea. How about if when the couple go to the door to meet the parents, when the door opens, the parents are dinosaurs?
Come on.
And they're like, are you serious? And he said, yeah. You know, he told Greg, yeah, that's actually whatever. Because, you know, you got it. Because, and I think that's part of the problem with Universal, too. They were getting movies that were so big that they didn't want to fart around with movies that weren't going to make them money, which
that's
is kind
so
of
great.
A problem with Hollywood now anyway.
Laura, can you stick around for a few minutes through the news? I want to ask you about another book you wrote, too. I don't know if we still have Greg or not, but we'll be right back with more with author Laura Enright and possibly Meet the Parents creator Greg Liana. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. On his first full day in office, President Trump was grilled about issuing 1,500 pardons to January 6 convicts.
These people have already served years in prison, and they've served them viciously. It's a disgusting prison. It's been horrible. It's inhumane. It's been a terrible, terrible thing.
Attorneys general from 22 states, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco are all suing the administration over Trump's executive order that will try to end birthright citizenship in the United States. Portland, Oregon police looking for the group of hooded and masked individuals who broke dozens of windows and painted anti-government graffiti on the county elections building before dawn on Monday. Ichiro Suzuki, CeCe Sabathia, and Billy Wagner have been elected to the Baseball's Hall of Fame. They'll be inducted July 27th, along with sluggers Dave Parker and the late Dick Allen. This is ABC News.